Please remain standing for our reading of the Gospel, coming from the Gospel according to Luke in the 4th chapter. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless, to this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, this Sunday, as I mentioned, we have our Mission Sunday.
Serving at Project Post. And the question has been
posed, why do we go, especially on a Sunday morning? Why do we go and participate in this work? And I think that our answer is in Scripture this morning, along with a lot of other scriptures that Jesus teaches and gives by example. But I think the answer is here, and I think one of the first things to notice that's interesting about this scripture is that these people from his hometown, they know him pretty well, and they get real mad at him. You know, sometimes Jesus makes me mad too. Sometimes Jesus asks me to do things that I don't want to do. Wants to make my life harder, at least that's the way I see it. First time we went to Haiti, and you know, I really felt compelled by Jesus to go, that was an important mission. And so we went, and we got in our hotel, and I got in the shower, you know, to wash off the sort of long journey of getting there over several days and flying through Haitian airports and all that. And I got in the shower, and I got, you know, kind of a drippy cold water situation, and I kind of rinsed off and got a little clean and got out of the shower and stepped over and went to turn the light off at the bathroom stall and got shocked, like legit shocked, like kind of a shock. And I remember, and I kind of was stunned, and I walked out of the bathroom and I was like, well, this is a nice thing that I've done once to go to Haiti. Definitely never going to do this again. I am not the kind of person who goes and stays in a hotel where the water drips cold and I get shocked by the light switch. That's not me. But Jesus continues to ask me to go, continues to make my life harder in that way. And sometimes it's frustrating. And I think if Jesus doesn't occasionally make you mad, that you might not be following the right person. Because we see it again and again in the scripture. Jesus is making his followers mad by what he tells them to do, by what he teaches them, by what he asks of them. He makes these people mad. Now, it may be a little unclear as to why they get mad. The scripture that he quotes, as it says, is from Isaiah. And if you see in verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." So, anointed one, the one who would be anointed by the Lord, is the Messiah. That's what Messiah means. Anointed one, and we translate it in Greek as Christ. So when Jesus is saying, reading this scripture, and then saying, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled," he's saying, "I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the anointed one. I am the one who is bringing the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, the year of salvation." And it says that the people were pretty excited about that when he says that, right? Because who wouldn't be? You know, it's the year of the Lord's favor, and to them, to the Israelites, who had been studying and reading these scriptures for years and years, they took a lot of comfort and hope, right? And like in the psalm that we read today, "The Lord is my fortress and my shelter, my rock." And they were, when they would say these things, they didn't just mean them for the moment. They meant that eventually the Lord would save them from all the oppression, the wicked and the evil, all the people that surrounded them. They had been oppressed for many years as they saw it, and rightfully so, right? People, armies from other countries had come in, had taken their lands, had destroyed their temple, had made a life a lot harder on them. And so when they heard this scripture, when they heard about the good news to the poor, the release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, the oppressed going free, they were like, "Well, that's about us. That's about us. We're the ones who are oppressed and poor. And we're the ones who are going to be saved. And everybody else out there, everybody who's not a Jew, well, they're outsiders. We're the good guys. They're the bad guys. Messiah's coming for us. Going to take them out." And then Jesus takes this scripture, right when they're so excited about it, speaking amazing, gracious words, and he takes it and he applies it to outsiders, to Gentiles, to the very people that they believe they're going to be released from. The people of Sidon, it mentions. This was a Roman colony north of Galilee that was had oppressed the Galileans. He mentions the Syrians of Naaman the Syrian. Now, these are both stories from the scripture, if you want to look. They're in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, right? These are real things that happen in the history of Israel. And Jesus is just pointing out, hey, look, this is how God has always operated. God isn't just bringing the blessings to you. God is bringing them to these outsiders. Well, that makes them real mad. And they want to kill him, not just because they're so mad, although that's a part of it, but they want to kill him because to them, he is blaspheming, applying the messianic scriptures to outsiders. But where they see sinful bad guys, God sees people in need of grace, people in need of mercy. When Jesus tells them these stories, they might have remembered 1 Kings, where the story comes from. They may have remembered that at that time, Israel was gone astray. It says that Ahab, son of Omri, the king of Israel, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all those who were before him. That's what caused the famine. That's what drove Elijah out of the kingdom to Sidon and put him in among the Gentiles. So when they heard this, they were hearing that somehow or another, they weren't good guys that were selected and special. They were people who were going astray, people who were not following God, and God's blessings were going out to all the world. And these outsiders, these people, Naaman and this widow, they weren't chosen for their faithfulness. They weren't chosen for their amazing good works or their lives. They were just chosen to receive blessings because they needed mercy. Now, Jesus is just making a point. He's not saying this always operates all the time for all history. But the point he is saying, he's making, is that God's blessings are given out freely and abundantly, even to outsiders, even to those whom we might want to exclude, who we might think are unworthy. Now, like I said, there's tons of parables about this. Jesus talks about this kind of all the time. It's one of the main points he's making to his own people. When he talks about the prodigal son, about the man who went away and squandered his father's worth and came back and asked to be to just be a slave in his father's house. His father welcomes him in as a son and puts his ring on him and all that. The Jews certainly recognized themselves as the older brothers, the ones who had been faithful, who were there the whole time and wanted to reject this outsider whom they saw coming in as unworthy. Or the 11th hour workers. See, there were people who worked all day in the vineyard, but then these workers came in at the 11th hour. They only worked 1 hour, yet they received the same wages as those who had worked all day. And the people who had worked all day said, "That's not fair. We worked so much harder. We did so much more. Why are they getting the same thing that we're getting?" And the ruler replies, "Are you ungrateful because I'm merciful? Are you all mad? Are you upset because I'm merciful?" In all of these stories, God doesn't reject the insiders. God doesn't reject the first, the faithful ones, the ones who work hard. They reject God. They're angry and upset. They get mad and they reject God because they think it's totally unfair that God is giving grace and mercy to outsiders who don't deserve it. Turns out this is good news. This is good news for us. Because even though we might be counted among the people of Jesus' town who feel like we've worked really hard, we've put in a lot for Jesus, we might think we're better, we're more worthy, we're more acceptable than them out there, those outsiders. The good news is that we are actually all the same. Us in here, them out there. We're people in need of God's mercy and grace. And God's mercy and grace is given to all who accept it. God's mercy and grace can come to us, even to us. So why do we go to Project Host on a Sunday? Because it's part of Jesus' mission. For Jesus, the priority on the Sabbath is always the mission. Again and again, he offers mercy and grace to those who need it, to those who are unseen, unworthy, to outsiders on the Sabbath day. To the people that we're serving this morning at Project Host, who are they? But the poor in need of good news. The prisoners. I mean, I can tell you many folk who are going to come this morning have been in prison. And many more are prisoners to the addictive substances that they have taken. They are the oppressed, oppressed by mental illness, by difficult circumstances in which they've found themselves, or difficult circumstances that they've created for themselves. They are oppressed. So when we go this morning, when our church goes, we're not just there to feed people. We're there to share good news, to liberate people from the shame of their circumstance, to free people, to see people. Well, what about giving sight to the blind? Now we see that Jesus in his life literally does this, but when asked, he says that when he does it, is to bring glory to God. It's a sign for those who see it, to open their eyes to who Jesus is and to the mission that he's about. But when we join the mission to the poor, when we join Jesus' mission to the oppressed and to the imprisoned, I believe it opens our eyes. We are the ones who are blinded. And in joining the mission, our eyes are opened to the true work of the Messiah, to the true nature of God's reign on earth, the year of the Lord's favor that is coming, the true reason for our salvation, the reason that we're here every day to tell good news to the poor, to be in unity and solidarity with the people that Jesus is literally talking about on this day, years ago. I believe that we encounter Jesus there, among the poor, the oppressed, and the imprisoned, in a new way, in a different way than we can encounter Jesus here. I believe that it helps us to build our relationship with Jesus in a new way. And it gives glory to God
to serve on Jesus' mission.
Isn't that what worship is all about?